Good afternoon. My name is Matthew Ryan. I'm a research associate with the University of Missouri. I wanted to take this time today to introduce the crop water use app to you. We started developing it in about 2014. Right now it's for Missouri farmers because we use the Missouri MISONET system for the ET measurements and things like that, but we've recently received some funding to move this out to other states. So again, just wanted to give you an update on it and kind of show you how to use it and some of the research that we're using to validate the models. So what is the crop water use app? Essentially, it's a soil water balance model that we're using as an irrigation scheduler. So we like to think of it as a water checkbook where your deposits would be irrigation and rainfall, and your debits would be what you lose from evaporation and transpiration through the plant. So we use it as a method to irrigate more efficiently. So irrigating only when our maximum allowed depletion triggers and prioritizing each of our fields on when we need to irrigate. So again, like I said, currently we use the MISONET at the University of Missouri. So these yellow dots that you see here are the weather stations in Missouri. We started out with 178 fields in 2015. That's moved up to about 454 as of last year with 111 different Missouri farmers. We also have farmers in Arkansas and Tennessee using this model. And what they'll do is just use the closest weather station to them. We also have some research that we've done on some electronic ET gauges. They're much cheaper than putting a weather station on your farm. And we'll give you an ET gate measurement that you can use in the app. So to register, you would go to cropwater.org. You can do this on your PC or your mobile device. It's much easier when you first get started and you sign up and start entering fields to start on your PC because it's easier to select your GPS locations and everything with a mouse and keyboard. So once you get set up, you'll be brought to this screen where you can start setting up your fields. You'll name your field and give it a decimal latitude and longitude. If you don't have a centroid for your particular field, you can click the find location using Google Maps above that and just locate your field. Click on the center of the field and that will give you the location. You'll also put in your own soil texture. That's the NRCS mapping unit for that soil texture. We have a couple of different ways that you can look that up as well. Once you get your field set up, you're going to select the crop that you're putting on that particular field. You're going to put in the planting date. We have a number of different parameters down here at the bottom that you can manipulate. So your water deficit at planting, which we usually recommend to leave at zero. Your rooting depth, which I'm going to talk more about here in a minute. Your irrigation method, whether you're sprinkler or furrow irrigated, and your default irrigation rate, how much you typically put out. And that's just for ease of use. And your maximum allowed depletion, which we usually keep it at around 50%. So the rooting depth is essentially what we've been trying to validate in this model. So we know that in Missouri we have cotton roots as deep as 40 inches. But what we've tried to determine is, can we irrigate based on those lowest roots? You know, if you're looking at the 40 inch depth, you may only have one or two roots that you find. So can you irrigate based on that in a soil water balance model? So your effective rooting depth is the level at which you can irrigate efficiently on that crop, and that's what we've been trying to find in cotton, as well as soybeans, corn, and rice, fur irrigated rice as well. So our study, we put different rooting depth triggers in the model from 6 inches all the way down to 30, where a 6-inch depth would simulate a shallow rooting zone where you would irrigate much more frequently, and a 30-inch where you would irrigate based on a deeper profile. Now, what we found in 2016 on a sandy loam soil, the blue numbers that you see here above the bars are how many times we irrigated that particular treatment. So the zero, again, in the beginning on the left-hand side, we didn't irrigate at all. The 6-inch rooting depth, we irrigated 6 times and lost 95 pounds of lint. So not only did we irrigate more, we lost yield by over-irrigating that. We also lost yield on the 12-inch. But the 18, the 24, and the 30 were each irrigated one time. Those were all at different times. Our 18 triggered before our 24, which triggered before our 30. But we found that on this sandy loam soil, that 18-inch trigger across replications was our highest yield. So we kind of targeted that in the first year of this validation. Now, coming into the second year, it was a little bit drier at our location. We moved from the sandy loam to a silt loam. And our 6-inch, we ended up irrigating 9 times that year. Now, we did get a boost in yield over the check, but you can see the 18-inch and the 24 and the 30, we only irrigated twice, and we didn't have a significant difference in yield. So we were able to irrigate much less overall water and maintain and even increase that yield over the 6-inch rooting depth. So for the different triggers that we're looking for in these crops, depending on your soil type, we're looking at somewhere between an 18 and 24-inch rooting depth. On your sandier soils, we're looking more at that 18-inch where we're going to irrigate a little more often. If we're on a heavier soil, we can hold that off to about 24. Soybeans, we're looking at 20 inches. Corn, anywhere from 22 to 24. And furrow irrigated rice, which is really just starting to take off where we are in Missouri, we're looking at a 12-inch rooting depth for that. So once you set your fields up, you've got a couple of different options on ways to monitor your field. You've got the field status and the farm summary tabs. The field status is where you can go in and look at an individual field and kind of see where you're at. The blue bar that you see here in the center is kind of essentially what we call the gas gauge. So the red mark is our 50% allowed depletion. And as that bar moves towards the left, when it reaches that red line, that's when we trigger an irrigation. So you can see down here at the bottom of this graph that you find that's a 4-week snapshot at how you've irrigated. Did you ever let it go down below the depletion? And you can kind of see how on target you were with your irrigations. The farm summary tab, all the fields that you put into the program, it's going to give you a list of all those and tell you when you need to irrigate. You can see on this Rhodes Field 1 in the center, we've got a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, and then the 3 X's. That's essentially a 70% of depletion, 80%, 90%, and 100%. So, but that is of whatever manageable depletion that you put in. So that's your irrigation trigger. We wanted to give you a few days advance notice on when you would need to irrigate. So this allows you to look at each of your fields together and kind of prioritize. If you've got, for instance, 4 fields on one well, you can know which one you need to turn on first and so on and so forth. So that's what this is for. Once you do irrigate, you've got an add irrigation and rain tab. Now this is helpful especially if you're not in Missouri or you're not close to one of the weather stations. Our rainfall amounts are based on the National Weather Service grid. So that's a 2.5-mile grid. So if you've got a rain gauge at your field and the app tells you that you got 0.48 inches, yet your rain gauge only has 35 hundredths in it, you can put in this blue column here on precipitation, you can change that value any way you want, and it will override the National Weather Service value. If you put an irrigation in, you'll just click the day here on the side, and it will... You can put in how much irrigation, either your default irrigation or another value, and it will update the model. So we've got several other spots that you can look at. You've got crop stage, which I'll talk about here in a minute, your calculations for the deficit. We've also got a report here at the side that you can print the entire season off and see if you ever got past your deficit or anything like that. We've actually got a payment system in Missouri. The EQIP program actually provides a payment for farmers to use this app, but they have to provide a report. So we've got that here. Tech support is our contact information if there are any issues. The crop stage, we've got this now for corn, soybeans, and cotton. So if if you have your planning date and everything in the model, it's going to start your accumulated DD60s. So if you go into that crop stage section, it's going to tell you how many heat units you've accumulated, where you should be based on that first 40 days in cotton. So it's going to tell you what you need to be looking for as far as fertilization, insects, diseases, things of that nature. So you can click on this black box here on the left, and it's going to bring you to what you should be looking for at that particular growth stage. If you're not from Missouri, again, like I said before, we've got several users that either use their closest weather station if they're in Arkansas, Tennessee. We've got some in Kansas and Oklahoma doing the same. Using the closest weather station, we've also done some work with the electronic atmometers to get an electronic ET on your location. What we've noticed on those is they usually run about 15% lower than our weather station data. So we've been taking those values and multiplying them by 1.15 in order to put those into the model. But you can manipulate your ET, you can manipulate your precipitation and your irrigation. So you can tailor the model to anywhere that you are. So we've got the funding now to hopefully within the next few years move this out to other states to get a hold of their weather data and be able to simulate that as well. We've also got University of Georgia and the University of Florida have, if you go to smartirrigationapps.org, they've got a cotton irrigation app that works quite well. So if you are in another location, they use the National Weather Service ET. So you can go with a model like that if you're not from Missouri. With that, I'd like to thank the sponsors, Cotton Incorporated, the Howard Buffett Foundation, and the NRCS. And I think I've got a little bit of time for questions, if anybody's got one. To promote the app in general? It's one of the big reasons we got adopted so well is because of that equip payment. So when the NRCS helped fund the model, they worked out that payment through the equip program so that producers could get that payment. And once that came through, our numbers jumped. So we continue. This is probably the 10th time I've given this presentation in some form or fashion, and just promoting not only the app, how to use the app. We do trainings with county agents, the NRCS, and they're promoting it as well. So it's been excellent as far as that regard on adoption. And I hope that when we expand that we'll get that as well. Because honestly, in Missouri, overall, the boot heel where we're located is highly irrigated. We're at least 70% irrigated, whereas the rest of the state is very low as far as irrigation is concerned. So to have 111 farmers, the majority of them are from the boot heel area. So. They're days after planting on those. So. Thank you so much.